Welcome to the Fantasy Football by Committee podcast, season two, the podcast who shagged me. I'm John, that's Anthony, and we're joined on Skype by Brian. So the premise for this episode is last night we did a few mock drafts on ESPN, the three of us with, one of them was mostly everyone stayed through, the other one there was a lot of auto drafts at the end.
That was like way at the end though, I think. Yeah. We could, you know, that's any mock draft you do online is going to happen like that.
So we're just going to go through what who we drafted, our strategies, what we noticed going through the rounds and everything to help you out with your drafts.
Yeah, definitely some surprising shit happened as I was going through like the round by round that I did not notice as the draft was going on. So if this is what it's going to be like, just you know, a little heads up. But when you actually draft in a couple weeks, or you know, Saturday, or you know, whenever you're drafting,
yeah, inside, not outside, like it's so, like how it's meant to be.
Look, that's not me. All right. So where do you want to start? How do you want to?
I guess let's go with the first draft we did.
All right. So you don't want to go round by round. You just want to do.
Yeah, let's go round by round.
All right. Well, actually, let me start off by saying, I'm very shocked
by
the fact that these were 12-team PPR drafts.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone pays attention to that when they're mock drafting, but in the first draft, only 5 wide receivers were taken, 6 running backs, and a tight end. So we know who took the tight end. That was Brian.
Yes.
He took, you did take Gronkowski with the 8th pick.
There were 6 wide receivers, and they were the first 4 picks.
6 wide receivers were taken?
Yeah. And it was the top 4.
That is the second draft.
No.
Right?
No, you're on the wrong draft.
You're on the wrong draft already.
Yes, I am.
Remember, Hakeem Brolajuwon was pick number 1.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, I was just shocked that in a PPR league that only 5 receivers would be taken in the first round. That's just unexpected.
And I pretty much went wide receiver, running back, for the first 7 picks.
And a random David Johnson being taken 2nd overall, which I don't, unless someone really believes in his ability, I doubt he's going 2nd overall. So I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's an abnormality. But the rest shook out pretty usual, I would think. Antonio Brown seems to be everybody's
number one.
Yeah, especially in PPR.
He's the clear cut. Would you put him as your clear cut number one in non PPR?
If I had the number 1 pick, I'd take Antonio Brown every time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters if it's PPR or not.
Yeah, he seems like the consensus. I mean, this seems like more than anything the consensus number one, like across the board.
There's just more. You're not going to be disappointed wide receivers than running backs. There's a lot of can't fail wide receivers. There's at least 5 wide receivers that are going to have good years, unless barring injury, as always.
Yeah, of course.
Brown, Beckham, Jones, Hopkins are all going to have good years.
I completely agree with that. So, the other thing though is that really surprised me in this draft, actually in both drafts, was how Le'Veon Bell fell out of the first round in both drafts.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, that was surprising.
15th in this draft, which I know he's suspended for 4 games, but I still think that's crazy for the talent he has.
Even
it's
with
just tough to not have your first round pick play. You're obviously not out of it after 4 weeks, and if you're going to get Bell after at like 10, 11, 12, then your team instantly gets amazing week 5, but you still can't play your shiny new toy for the first 4 weeks.
It is a hard pill to swallow, but I mean,
I would play with my shiny new toys.
I'd still rather
exactly.
At that point, I take Bell and just worry about trying to make sure you get D'Angelo, like, in rounds 9 or 10 or something like that, you know?
Just, well, it was... I mean, it was similar to Gurley's situation last year. You saw how gigantic of a boost he gave everybody. He wanted to come back.
Six or seven.
I think he missed the first 5 weeks. And then I think that first week he didn't do much because I had him in our league.
Yeah, they didn't fully start him. He was still by committee, and then the week after he went off.
Well, it just shows you. I mean, I don't think if it comes down to it, I don't think Bell should go 15. I mean, that's I'd rather have Bell over. I know a lot of people are gonna get me for this over Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's just say what the first round was here for this first mock draft is. It was Antonio Brown, David Johnson, Odell Beckham, Todd Gurley, Julio Jones, Adrian Peterson, DeAndre Hopkins, Rob Gronkowski, Ezekiel Elliott, Lamar Miller, AJ Green, and Devonta Freeman. I would definitely rather have Bell than...
Oh, for sure.
Elliott, Freeman. Miller, Green, and probably Johnson.
I don't get. Oh, Johnson was taken way too high in this one. I don't. That's gonna be tough, though. Bell over Johnson.
That would be tough, but I don't think I would think twice about Miller, Elliott, or Green.
Definitely not. I would definitely take him over Green. I'd take him over Elliott. I'm not a tight end person, so I'd take him over Gronkowski.
I can't see Gronk falling out of the first round. Any draft, it'd be a little crazy since he's just so much better than every other tight end.
Yeah,
it's no different than picking a wide receiver with your first round pick.
I can't do it. I can't. Tight ends needs to be. Just wait on them. Let someone else take Gronkowski.
All right, we're going go on to round two and see the numbers that you got. Anthony, come on. Spilling beers everywhere.
That was a party foul.
Yeah.
All right.
Check the numbers after you wipe off your mouth.
Off camera. You want to do what the numbers were in the second round?
Yeah.
6 wide receivers, 6 running backs. Again, very even, which, again, I'm sort of surprised about. I still think way too many running backs are being taken this early.
Yeah.
I feel that way almost every other year in fantasy. I just don't like the running back class this year. Last year I thought there were a lot of solid running backs and the wide receivers were a little sparse. I think it's kind of flipped this year. So I don't mind getting those running backs early.
When you can.
Somebody like Keenan Allen was if you're drafting with some good draftees, Keenan Allen might not fall to the last pick of the second round. But he could easily be your number one wide receiver.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, look at these running backs taken. Like, I'd rather take Keenan Allen over Doug Martin, LeSean McCoy, and Mark Ingram. Like, that's straight up, you know? Like, I'd rather have Keenan Allen and my number one pick be, like, DeAndre Hopkins, you know? And then worry about running back later on.
But who are the later on running backs?
I mean, I wouldn't mind one of my first running back being... I don't know, Jonathan Stewart or even like C.J. Anderson. As long as I know I can
You can go with Jeremy Langford.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I know I can get someone like Keenan Allen and
DeMarco dropped pretty far in both. Not far, but like fifth round.
I wouldn't feel good with my team if Jonathan Stewart was my number one running back.
I mean, I know I wouldn't feel great about my running backs, but I feel friggin' superior with my wide receivers.
Yeah. And there's more of a passing league now.
And contrary to what the
running back in a year.
Yeah, contrary to what the Titans head coach says.
That's right.
Let's look at some round two picks that could have been round one or were actual value picks for round two. So obviously we talked about Bell.
He got
picked 15th, so we don't have to say that anymore.
I mean, Alshon Jeffrey at 19.
Jamal Charles at 22.
Oh, yeah, that was a steal.
Do you think he's a first-round pick this year?
I mean, he always gets, like, a major injury.
Not always, yeah. But he's...
A lot. It seems like a lot of times
but
he gets
a
major injury.
I'd say he's... from like 13 to 17. He should be going before Doug Martin. He should be going before LeSean McCoy. You know, that's definitely.
Sure. I think so too.
But I would put him close to like Thomas Rawls area, just because Rawls I feel like is going to have so much work for him.
For sure, that would be a hard pick between those two. And Rawls with.
Well, he has the youth and everything.
The running back, I know they have a terrible line, but the running back with Wilson always has a little bit of an advantage because he just...
You never know if he's going to give it or take it, you know?
Options. Yeah, he runs that option so well.
He's been giving it to CR, so good for him.
Really?
What? Can't make a sex joke
that's
on,
what I
on
thought,
this one?
I thought that one of my most unpopular NFL opinions was that Marshawn Lynch was a very overrated running back. I just think he benefited a lot from having Wilson.
Well, yeah, because it's the type of, you know, the quarterback definitely helps
him, like,
the way
he
runs. He
also had, like, the aura around him, just, like, the myth of beast mode around him.
Yeah, that one running back where he just destroyed your... I mean, that one run where he just destroyed your Saints.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that.
That was probably the best rush...
Of ever. All time?
I don't remember that ever happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blacked out during that.
Yeah, kind of like how I blacked out in 2004 with the Yankees. They didn't play a World Series that year.
Oh, that's right.
Sure, well, so, I mean, again, I'd like to see Keenan Allen at the top of the second round. I think it's dangerous because he did that. He had such an amazing rookie year. His sophomore year, he was just...
Yeah, he was
completely
total butt cheeks.
But last year, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He probably would have finished as...
Top five.
Top two. I don't see how anybody... In a PPR format, I would think he would be right there with Brown. He was getting so many catches every... He was getting like 40 points a game in my PPR.
I'd probably take him over Marshall and give a hard thought about taking him over Dez... And probably even Rob.
I kind of like Marshall more than Dez, because Dez is one Romo injury away from being useless.
Yeah, unless they get McCown. But.
And Marshall's always going to. Marshall.
He's just a red zone beast, yeah.
Very underrated. I mean, Allen Robinson just seems to be getting better every year. This is just a really strong second round. If Jordy Nelson comes back healthy, he's a top 8 pick most years, so this is just the second round looks really nice. There's a lot of good.
Yeah, I mean, look at all. I mean, basically, you're talking about all the receivers too. It's like, you know, these receivers could be, you know, back end first round picks because of how good they are.
It's really just who you prefer, because you can swap half the second round with half the first round.
You know what? That's what it comes down. It comes down to preference most of the time.
I think what we're looking at here is a late round pick is probably a good pick in this draft. If you're looking 9, 10, 11, 12, you're getting your preference of...
See, if you go 9, 10, 11, 12, you can get a top flight running back, because most of the people in the early first round are being taken wide receivers, but then on the swing back, you can still get a very, very good wide receiver, because there's just so many of them. So,
I mean, if Jordy Nelson is my number one wide receiver and I think he's going to be healthy, then
I'll be
completely confident with that. I have no problem with Nelson as my number one.
I mean, and you can even go on to round 3, where people like Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, Amari Cooper were taken.
Be a monster this year.
I like him, and if on previous, you listen to previous podcasts. Bold prediction was both Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin are going to get 85% of Megatron's stats. And it came out, they both, like, what was it, like 85 catches?
It was
like 80 catches and like 1,000 yards. Like, they'll both get that, I feel like.
It was the worst bold prediction ever.
It was like a lukewarm prediction.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we can totally
now.
Hear you. Yeah, wow.
No, you cut off for about a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's weird. We started hearing actually, like, it sounded like there was like a wind, like a big fan on your head that we were listening to.
Or just like, like, do you
oh,
was just.
I could turn the fan on.
No. It's not the fan. It's just like, I think that's when it cut out on you or on whatever. That's when we started hearing that, like, weird fan noise.
Yeah, or like, D was just blown into the microphone, like, which you might do because you might try to sabotage us. I don't know.
This is what happens when you have a crap setup. And we have to Skype in through a microphone like this because we haven't purchased the program.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like podcast on a budget.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Podcast on a budget.
And then we should like make a video and send it to Exhibit and see if you can pimp our podcast and get us like a sound studio.
We would just end up with the dumbest shit ever. Things we wouldn't even
need. Yeah, we would have like a spinning microphone and like...
That'd be the worst thing.
Like,
be like
TVs like everywhere. And it's like, this doesn't help. Like
every season of the podcast, you just get a little bit worse in production value. Like the 6-1, you're talking into tin cans.
Hello.
Podcasts like our grandparents used to do it.
Oh, God. All right, so we're only on round 3. Well, we didn't like do like one draft.
All right. Well,
you know what's interesting.
What?
Through no fault of his own, went from a high first round pick to a low third round pick. Marius Thomas.
I knew you were going to say that.
You feel good? Would you feel good having him on your team at all? Not knowing at all what his quarterback situation. I mean, it couldn't can it get worse than what it was with Peyton?
I was going to say, but like, look at the situation last year. Like, Peyton was throwing dead ducks all over the field. I know Oscar.
That's disgusting. Isn't throwing dead ducks everywhere?
Well, I don't know. They're from the South. They hunt,
just
probably.
Picture like a bunch of dead ducks
everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They were really trying to get Peyton to stop littering the field with ducks.
You gotta prime it somehow.
He's like, it's my last year, motherfucker.
I'll throw whatever dead animal I want to. I mean, they pretty much do throw dead... They used to throw dead pigs around, if you think about it.
I mean, they throw octopus on the...
Yeah, and in Nashville, they throw catfishes on the ice.
Yeah, so what's the difference? So what?
Because hockey's filled with a bunch of, you know, good old boys, and they just, you know, they play hard and sometimes dirty, but, you know, they shake hands, so it's all right, and football's just filled with a bunch of, like... I don't want to say the T word, but thugs.
So you did say it.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I said I didn't want to say it before,
it makes it okay.
It's like, no offense, but...
It really pained you to say.
Yeah, totally.
Well, see, that's... You know what? That's the kind of flash mob I want to see. Somebody just secretly gathering 150 ticket holders and just sneaking a dead duck into their shirt and throwing it on the field after the first touchdown or something.
What the fuck is this? A dead duck?
That's it. It's a perfect flash mob.
Oh, God.
Okay. Back onto the rails a bit.
I do agree, though. You know what?
Demaryius Thomas.
Back end of the third round, Demaryius Thomas, I would absolutely want him over Jordan Reed pick, over Golden Tate, over Golden Corral Lacey. Mm-hmm.
I'd want him over Brandon Cooks.
T.Y. Hilton, I'd rather have him over.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's just so talented. And even, like you said, with Dead Duck Manning and Osweiler, he still had, like, what, like a like 1,300 yards?
Yeah,
something
he's
like
had a real good season.
Like, I completely shake up this third round that we see here. I know I picked Tate, but I kind of flip it around. I could see, because it goes, the last three picks are Cooper, Cobb, Thomas. I could see that being the first three picks of the top round.
Yeah.
Thomas, Cobb, Cooper.
Absolutely.
And throw Landry in there.
Landry
and Lewis. I mean, I'd like to see on Lewis because
he's going to be a PPR monster.
These flash in the pan. One year, they're good running backs.
I know. You always got to worry about that with the Patriots too. Remember, like, Jonas Gray.
I can't with Patriot running backs. Yeah. They all have one good year and then just.
I don't. And
like, okay,
he's still on the pup list,
though. For this next player that we pay $500,000.
Yeah. Let's bring in LeGarrette Blount for two more games and see him get like 5 touchdowns.
But didn't they give Lewis like a $4.5 million deal or something like that?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like they at that point they gotta like.
So it's a good sign.
It's better than nothing. But no.
What do you think?
Okay,
do you think Landry's going to be as good as last year?
Yes.
Oh, he in his first two seasons, he has more catches than any other receiver in the history of football. So
okay,
so that's
there we go.
And you have it from Tannehill. Just imagine if he had like a better quarterback, but obviously stuck with Tannehill.
Yeah.
But add Arian Foster.
Boys.
What?
I said the LSU boys are tearing it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. They said I think they both set a shitload of records or something like that. Those two.
Nah. And Deion Lewis signed for 2 more years, and not making the minimum. So
woohoo! Not the minimum. Not.
Right.
I would love the minimum.
Well, obviously.
I would love half the minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I would like get knocked out one time for that.
I would
be like, no, I'm going to retire.
I would not be doing
this. I'll take all this guaranteed money, but which there is none.
Just one really bad concussion.
All right. You want to go on to round 4?
Sure. Yeah. What are we talking about? Well, by the way, round 3, 9 receivers were taken, 2 running backs, and 1 tight end.
Brian's going to be cut out again, probably.
But that's why I didn't mind the running backs taken, because now...
Well, yeah, at this point...
And now, yeah.
Well, but round 4, it leveled out again. 5-5, in round 4, 5-5, and then finally, your first two quarterbacks were taken, which, by the way, it's another point I made. In both drafts, a quarterback, Cam Newton, wasn't taken until like the 4th round in both those drafts.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy. I don't think any draft in real life is going to happen. Mm-mm. I think Cam Newton's going no later than the 2nd round in most drafts. So
you
got to
stay patient. If someone takes a quarterback
and two other people take it.
I'm
not going to be the one to do it.
No, I definitely won't be the one to do it, but this is not how it's going to go down.
But I'm saying, like, and also if like someone takes Cam Newton and two other people take quarterbacks, don't continue the
trade
of quarterbacks. Get that wide receiver that they all get the wide receiver that they passed over.
Yeah, don't fall on that, like the don't be like the next domino to fall.
Yeah,
you know?
Like if you get 8th round Carson Palmer or Eli Manning, that's nice.
Especially
this is the one year where I actually think Eli Manning is a good draft pick.
I really like it.
Especially when, like you said, if you don't fall for the little, you know, the people taking the quarterback in the 3rd and 4th round, you're grabbing someone like an Edelman or a Macklin and letting them take the quarterback, and then you get your pick of the, you know, like that's what you should do.
Instead of Newton, you could have had Baldwin, who completely went off last year.
Yeah, or had Decker, who had double digit points in like just about every game.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a very solid wide receiver, 2 or 3.
So I just don't see the... I know Cam Newton's good, I don't see it's the value of being worth it.
Well, speaking of Cam Newton's value, what do you think of Kelvin Benjamin? Do you think he's going to have a resurgent year after the injury?
He's too good on the goal line to not
get
you points every game. It doesn't matter what he does with his arm. He's the best short yardage rusher in football.
Wait,
Kelvin Benjamin, not Cam Newton.
Oh, I thought you said Cam Newton.
I did like a segue into Kelvin Benjamin.
You keep dropping out.
Well,
okay.
Whose fault is
Kelvin
that?
Kelvin Benjamin.
There really was no segue, but
there was a bit of a segue.
You just basically said Kelvin Benjamin.
Well, they're on the
same
team.
Kelvin Benjamin. In my book, he's very similar to drafting what Kevin White, but obviously you would draft Benjamin first. I just wouldn't, both of them, I'd want to have them on my team, but I wouldn't be too thrilled about it.
But I mean, you saw what Benjamin can do, at least, you know, like he had this rookie season was really good. You know, you really haven't seen it from Kevin White yet because he was, you know, hurt all last year.
Cam Newton's a much better passer now.
Well, not much better passer. His completion percentage, I think, is still really low. But,
well, he was also throwing to Ted Egghand's skin.
Look.
And he's better than Jay Cutler, so...
well, they guess so. Passing-wise, I don't know.
All right. Let's see. What do we have?
Any other notes from the round 4?
I mean, Carlos Hyde taking 40 is, I think, way too high.
Really?
I think that's way too high too. Just, I wouldn't.
I mean,
that offense is gonna be awful.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I don't trust the 49ers offense either. I would never probably have Hyde on my team. I'd probably just look, be like, I'll take someone else.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have Matt Forte over Carlos Hyde.
Even in CJ, it's in 42.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Chip Kelly has a surprise offense.
Doubt it.
Again, but I just don't. I hated Hyde last year, and I feel really bad about having him this year.
Yeah, I have no faith in that in that system or anything about that team.
Nope.
And I couldn't bring my. I mean, yeah, of course, if he drops like maybe round five, round six, which he never will. Maybe, but I wouldn't feel comfortable having him as my number one or two running back.
I'd leave him for a six round type thing.
Yeah, and he'll never be there at six, so, you know.
Well, do you think, well, here's an interesting one. Do you think Matt Forte has one good year left in him? I mean, he's round four here. Matt Forte is a perennial top pick.
I think
he's not very injury prone. I mean,
I like him in the Jets system. The Jets did really well when they started incorporating Bilal Powell into like their screen passing game, and their offense started clicking. And also with Anunma, with another year of experience, he's great. He's like not a good line, like on the line blocker, great downfield blocker because he's so much bigger than like wide receivers and can chip linebackers. So with Forte and Powell.
There was a Kyrie Robinson, didn't they?
They did sign Kyrie Robinson.
I like him.
He just got off the pup list, too. So, I mean, their backfield's stacked. The thing is, though, is are there going to be enough balls for Robinson, Forte, Powell, Decker, Marshall, and Inunua?
I don't think they signed Forte to not give him
the ball. Oh, no. He's going to get... There always are
enough balls. I mean, it's not like basketball. If you're good in football, you're going to get... You're usually going to put up your numbers, especially the more weapons there.
Yeah.
Are because it's just less people.
I'm just so happy Fitz signed before the season.
But look, I'd rather have 15 touches a game from Matt Forte than like 20 than 20 plus from Carlos Hyde.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, same here.
So that basically says it all when it comes down to who you'd rather draft.
Oh, for sure.
So.
All right,
or CJ Anderson probably too. I'd bump him up over there.
Yeah,
I'd rather have CJ over Hyde too.
Well, going on to round five, I want to check the numbers real quick.
Yep. All right, this is where we start shaking it out a little bit. Again, four receivers, four running backs, three tight ends go off the board, and one more quarterback.
All right, big thing here for me is Arian Foster at 56 in the middle of the fifth round. I think that's pretty good value for him, even coming off, you know, injury-riddled season with the Texans. Everyone's saying, out of Miami, he's going to be the bell cow, he's going to get all the touches, and he's going to be the number one running back. I really like that. That value for round five for Foster is solid.
Yeah, and definitely don't believe the starting, you know, like, oh, on paper now, Jay.
We just need to, like,
can
we just make a nickname for him so we don't have to butcher his name every freaking time?
I'd rather butcher his name.
Okay, fair enough.
He's not going to be the starting running back. Unless if Foster, the only way he's going to be a starting running back is if Foster kills himself. Other than that, Foster will be your number one running back on that offense. So that is, I think that's good value.
He's just too good when he's healthy, but you know, he could be completely broken down now, where he's just not going to have a healthy season for the rest of his career. But he obviously showed last year that he's still very good when he's healthy.
Well, that's the thing is when he's healthy, which you know, knock wood that he is. You're right. He showed that he could still catch the ball out of the backfield, make make defenders miss, and put up good numbers basically.
But like what you were saying, where you'd rather have 15 carries from Forte than 25 from Hyde. I'd rather have 8 games from Foster than the person who was picked before him in this draft than all 16 from Jeremy Hill.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, can we Jeremy Hill and the other stupid guy, the most frustrating.
The other stupid guy?
Yeah, the other. What?
Who's the other stupid guy?
I don't know, the other running back for Cincinnati.
Oh, Giovanni?
Yeah, Gio.
Yeah.
They were so frustrating.
Well, Jeremy Hill sucks. I don't think I could trust Jeremy Hill after last year, even though we talked about last night how he had 11 touchdowns.
Oh, so wait, what was the stats you said last night?
Like, all right, he had 11 touchdowns, which led the league, which was tied for the league. But in over 200 plus carries, He only had one for 20-plus yards, and he averaged 3.6 yards per carry.
Which is awful.
Which was terrible.
So dog shit.
Yeah. I mean, that was awful.
I'd throw him a bone in the ninth round or something, but I just couldn't... I couldn't take
not, him. Not round five. Especially when, yeah, especially when there's still Foster on the board. Even, like Duke Johnson or Ryan Matthews...
Especially
when
in PPR.
Round six. Oh, yeah.
Especially in PPR, because Jeremy Hill's not really a pass catcher.
And unless this guy seriously needed a running back, Michael Floyd went three picks later. Like, I'd much, much rather have Michael Floyd as my flex guy than Jeremy Hill as my RB2 and try to find someone else.
I just don't want to... I wouldn't want it to get to Jeremy Hill. I think... Looking at these rounds and who's left after this fifth round, I think I want to have my two running backs
before that
by the fifth, because there are a lot of wide receivers left that I still would
that you can
like
still get by with
team.
Yeah,
but there just aren't that many running backs that I care for that are left.
Yeah, I mean,
it does
really thin out, but I don't know. I think... I don't know. It's... The strategy is tough. I mean, in this draft, my first two picks ended up being running backs, which was Lamar Miller and Le'Veon Bell, so...
Wasn't your strategy going into
it. No, it was not my strategy, but when it came down, when I looked at the team after that, I was pretty pleased with how it turned out, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So definitely, like, people always say, like, oh, I go in with a no running back strategy. Well, that doesn't always work out, because sometimes you just have to pick the best player available, and sometimes the best player available is a running back. So
yeah, I mean, it should be best player available. Best running back wide receiver available.
I would
say for the first three rounds, unless Gronk is there.
I knew you were going to say that.
He's one of them. He's a wide receiver / running back, pretty much.
Yeah.
That fills your tight end spot. Like, I'd rather pick up a solid wide receiver. You could pick up wide receivers on waivers all the time. Like, you could find them. You're not going to find a great tight end on waivers, usually. Unless you got lucky with Gary Barnage.
Barnage!
Or you got lucky with Jordan Reed last year. Like I did.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it happened. It definitely did happen. And even Delanie Walker last year wasn't drafted. Or Ben Watson wasn't drafted, and Watson went off.
Yeah, I used Ben Watson a lot.
I drafted... Walker was my tight end draft last year, because, I don't know, I just really liked him as pretty much the only option that Mariota had.
Yeah, basically.
Here, he was picking the fifth round.
That's what I'm saying. He moved up.
That's a little crazy.
I would not waste a fifth round pick on Delanie Walker. I'm sorry.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick him in the fifth round. All
right, you want to go on to round six?
Yeah, I only did seven rounds where I did the numbers, but we could just talk about a few names throughout
that'd
each.
That we like picks that we like. All
this right,
this is also where the draft gets pretty important. Where
you're picking your deaf guys.
You really don't want to be wasting shit on players that have no track record of being a number two receiver or number two running back or number three receiver. Like Devontae Parker was picked number 64. He has no path of ever being good in the NFL.
I don't like Devontae Parker either.
Alright, before we do that, three receivers, seven running backs, and two QBs were taken in round six. And you're right, Devontae Parker above players like Larry Fitzgerald, Jordan Matthews, even Ryan Matthews.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh. It is absolutely ridiculous.
All right, Brian. I talked about this last week, I think. What do you think about Rashad Jennings this year?
He was taken 72nd.
72nd by me.
I mean, it's not a bad pick for when he was taken. It's so crowded back there.
The last four games of the Giants season, he got more, I think it was like 15 carries per game at least. And before that, he hadn't gotten like 13 in at least 13 in any of them. and he had single-digit carries in 5 of the 9 games.
Look, I think he should be there. If they're going to run the ball,
he's the guy.
Running back.
Yeah.
I think the Giants need to play Vereen on more downs, just on more passing downs, because they really underutilize him.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Jennings should be the person running their football, but
I like him as a RB3.
You know, Coughlin's gone, and McAdoo's just going to do these quick drop passes. Like,
McAdoo's the worst dresser, though, of any NFL coach.
I do not think they're going to run as much.
Well, that's the case. If they're not going to run as much, then it's probably going to be more of a Vereen show, right? Or they should be, at least.
Yeah, that's what I think. But
you just saw how badly they misused him last year. It's hard to pick him again, but...
Well, would you take any of the running backs in round 6 before Rashard Jennings? So, like, Woodhead, Duke, Gore, Matthews, Matt Jones, or Melvin Gordon?
I would take Jennings before Matt Jones.
What about Melvin Gordon?
Get the words out of my mouth.
There's always a chance Melvin Gordon has about, because he was such a big prospect.
That's what happens in rookies. Ezekiel Elliott.
And he was such a big prospect, he can turn around. I maybe pick him over. Well, how much longer does Frank Gore have? Like, how can Frank Gore keep going?
Yeah, that's true.
That is a player that I just cannot see. I would, if I looked at him on a piece of paper, I'd pass it over, because I can't. What is he going to do?
Jennings isn't a bad pick, I guess, now that I'm looking at the other running backs. I see down in the end of round 7, Gio Bernard was taken, and I'd probably bump him up a little.
What about TJ Yeldon, I guess? Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I think I'd rather have Chris Ivory than TJ Yeldon.
When did even Chris Ivory go?
That's a tough one. They might really split it up there.
Ivory went 9, and Yeldon went in 7, and I think Ivory's going to be that more goal line back.
What about 4? I'd rather have 4 set, I guess. And he went in 8.
I was like, yeah, that's actually pretty crazy.
I think that has to be an oversight that people just didn't
people
see
forgot him. About Justin Forsett.
Especially when you're drafting Amir Abdullah before him.
Team 12, what are you doing?
Dear Lord.
He looked so bad last year.
Oh, he looked awful. But, all right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. All right, so let's do... So, we talked a little bit about round 6. Let's see, Andrew Luck finally went in there. Drew Brees went in round 6. We had Devontae Parker was, I think, too high of a pick. Matt Jones is going to be sharing carries, according to some sources. So, he's not going to have a full workload. I would not be into drafting him in round 6.
He had a couple of good games, and that was it.
He did, but... I don't see him getting a full workload. I would not be drafting him. And Duke Johnson is a player in PPR that I think you got to keep your eye on. That
for sure.
Year.
How do you feel about Jordan Matthews? How do you feel about anybody on Philly? Would you pick anybody on Philly besides Jordan Matthews?
I think Ryan Matthews is a decent pick.
I agree with Ryan Matthews. I think he averaged like 5 yards a carry last year, and I think in a better system now with Chip Kelly gone, I think he could, as long as he stays healthy, because he's another one. I think he could really, really do well there. But Lane Johnson might be suspended for 10 games, so
I think that's definitely.
Well, how long until Wentz takes over? Do you think
for Philly?
For Philly?
No, yeah.
Do you think that ups the value of people in Philly, or is kind of the same as Sam Bradford's value?
I'm telling you, I honestly think Sam Bradford's going to have a bounce back, and I think...
He did all... I just think he was good for Chip Kelly's system, but he was like the only player in Philly that was good for it. Because he's good at getting rid of it quick, where he...
See, I thought it was the opposite, where he's terrible for Kelly's system.
Really?
He had no arm to bomb it downfield, and I think no accuracy on the long throws, and that's so big for Kelly.
I think everyone that was a skill position player on Philly was terrible for Chip Kelly's system. So I think getting a whole new system in there will benefit Matthews, Aguilar, the other Matthews, Sproles.
He really was a terrible GM. He should have just not tried it out. He would still be the Philly coach. He should have just never tried that out.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But no, I do sort of like both Matthews on Philly this year, and I think round six isn't bad for either of those choices.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Your offense can't be that dog shit, right? Like, somebody has to be
there. Somebody's got to get those points.
Is there any offense where you don't want anybody on that? I think maybe San Francisco.
That's the closest one. But even Torrey Smith is.
No,
like,
I don't want Torrey Smith.
You don't want Torrey Smith?
No. Would you ever feel happy about, hey, I'm playing Torrey Smith this week? Never.
I mean, I stash him on my bench to see how it comes along.
Never.
I wouldn't play him for the first, like, 4 weeks.
I have no faith in anyone on San Francisco's offense.
If it's like the 13th round,
Chip Kelly offense, so somebody has to be good, right? Like,
you would think
he didn't lose everything, did he?
Who's gonna be good though? I mean, who is there?
I don't know. No one.
It's awful.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want to talk about them.
All right. Round seven.
Round seven. Last round I did. Any numbers for was five wide receivers, three running backs, two tight ends, and another two quarterbacks. That's about right. In the end, in those first seven rounds, 37 wide receivers were taken, 33 running backs, only seven tight ends, only seven quarterbacks. So we're really looking at you could definitely wait on QB and tight end based on how these drafts.
Yeah, unless you really want Gronk and are in like mid to late first round,
you could really wait on both those positions.
Yeah.
And a great pick in round
besides
seven.
Gronk.
Besides Gronk, of course. Asterisk. Kevin White is a fantastic pick in round seven, I think.
I thought I kind of reached for him at the beginning of round seven, to be honest.
I know he hasn't. Go ahead, sorry.
I don't know if fantastic, because you're still paired up with Smoke and Jay. I'd rather Hearns over White, but I still do like White.
Of course you say Hearns. You fell in love with Hearns last year.
Hearns was amazing last year.
But I don't I think he's more of a... I think all the touchdowns he got last year is not repeatable. And
but he also... That was also his second year of people saying that.
I don't... I see Kevin White having much more talent than Hearns.
2 years ago, it was the same thing with Hearns. Like, oh, he's, there's no way he's doing this again.
Well, he's not going to do it third time in a row.
So your Hearns is like my Doug Martin last year, where I just
I refuse
to believe that Doug Martin was any good. And now
Now he's being drafted in the second round.
Still don't believe in him.
All right.
There is nobody on San Francisco. What are they going to do with their football when they have it on offense?
Go like three and out every time?
They're going to hand to Carlos Hyde every time.
Jerome Simpson is their number two. DeAndre White, Quentin Patton.
Who are these people?
Jerome Simpson had a really good flip into the end zone one time. That was really nice.
Yeah, he's very good. That one time he did that one thing.
Yeah.
is DeAndre White, was he a bit? Was he a high draft pick? DeAndre White. DeAndre.
Wait, what's that name again? DeAndre White. Like the Andrew White.
Well, he's the only Andrew White.
D-Andrew.
Okay.
He's not any Andrew, he's D-Andrew.
The.
I mean, yeah, why be a Andrew when he can be the Andrew? That makes
That's
sense.
That's true.
He was that really good receiver on Alabama. Okay, so,
yeah.
You know what, I can see giving him a late round flyer.
Sure, with Gabbert throwing him the ball. Yeah.
I mean, somebody on an offense has to be good.
And all right, let's see what other picks we have. D'Angelo Williams went.
San Francisco. Yeah. This podcast.
What are the San Francisco like podcasters or bloggers have to talk about?
How much their team sucks.
I mean, right. Like that is a hard job.
They also have the hardest schedule in the NFL too.
Well, because they have played the Cardinals twice and the Seattle Seahawks twice and the Rams twice. Like that's not an easy schedule.
No. No. All right. Let's see. Other picks. D'Angelo Williams went in round seven.
Welcome to the San Francisco podcast. We're going to pivot now to nothing but 49ers.
So, those Joe Montana glory days. Can we ever get back to them?
They should just show like a grave, like for like a video cast, like for the 49ers, just like 2016 season. That's it. This is a grave because they're going to do shit. They're going to go 1-15.
First, they have a wide receiver named DeAndre Smelter, so that's a cool name.
Smelter?
Wait.
Hardly know her.
Wait, the Andre or DeAndre?
DeAndre and DeAndre. Talk about chemistry.
Oh, man. They can't be stopped.
No. Brian, maybe we should get Marlon to talk about the 49ers.
They should bring back Glenn Coffey.
Oh, God. He can get drafted in the 13th round again in our league every year.
All right.
DeAndre Williams, 78 overall, round 7. I don't know if this is a guy that picked Bell, but...
No, because I picked Bell.
Oh, okay. That's right. Anthony's favorite tight end, Travis Kelce.
Oh, God.
Actually, I do like the team Hall pick, TJ Yeldon, in round 7. And then also, Anthony's favorite wide receiver, Stephon Diggs.
I think round 7, people did a pretty good job.
Of getting good depth. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, except for Kobe Fleener.
He could be Ben Watson this year.
Let's just put him off to his side, because I don't know what, really, you think he's gonna, he's always supposed to be good.
Did you think Ben Watson could do what Ben Watson did?
No, I guess I didn't.
So, I mean, Fleener, you know, apparently, you know, he had talent. He was really good with Andrew Luck in Stanford. So,
yeah.
I mean, I see. With Drew Brees could turn any tight end to a fucking superstar. So
yeah.
That's true. But who was really beat? Like, what's his name? Wasn't that good either. He didn't have that far to go to be at the top of the depth chart in Indy, and he couldn't do it.
Well, I just think I think it's a product of the quarterback, and I don't think Luck in the NFL was good at, or maybe the offense just wasn't good at getting the tight ends the ball properly. I mean,
no, that could be true. All right, so but all in all, this is a good job on this mock draft crew on round 7. I don't really dislike many of the picks.
I
think Carson Palmer is a very good value quarterback at 7, and Ben Roethlisberger is very good at 7, too.
Yep.
The quarterback's taking this round good. I think DeSean Jackson and Tavon Austin are a little high for my liking.
Austin, the Rams haven't had a receiver break 800 yards in, like, 5 years.
Since, like, Torrey Holton.
Yeah. Like,
well, I mean,
it's crazy.
I could bump those two down.
I would rather have Diggs and
Austin.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would more so would rather bump Austin down than Jackson too, but maybe he has a healthy year. Who knows? He's always decent when he's out. Yeah, let's bump them both down.
I mean, I'd rather have Hearns and Diggs than both of those.
Right.
And now looking in round 8, I'd rather have
Crabtree, Lockett.
Crabtree, Shepherd, Lockett.
I really like Sterling Shepherd.
I like him too.
Even more, I think Marvin Jones.
I like him the most, so.
All right, well, yeah,
well
one upper.
Screw you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, a lot of, I mean, I don't know, I think there's more value, I think, than getting someone like Austin. Like you said, the Rams haven't had an 800-yard receiver in a while. DeSean Jackson keeps getting hurt.
Like, not a while, like a long
like in forever. So, like, I'd rather have players... Someone like with more upside, so someone like a Tyler Lockett or Sterling Shepard or even like Marvin Jones, who's in a new situation.
I'd rather have every wide receiver in this round 8 than Austin or Jackson. Besides probably Josh Gordon, because
he's fat, out of football, and has RG3 throwing to him. Like that's not a recipe for success.
Do you really think he's going to spend the first 6 weeks of the season not smoking weed? I can't trust
him. He actually, might walk out of the locker room with, a blunt, just accidentally.
He's gonna Snapchat himself, smoking a blunt, week one, ready for football, fucking...
alright. Now,
all the way past week 6. I'm reinstated into the NFL. Let me celebrate with some weed.
alright. Let's just go through the last couple rounds and see any picks that we really like.
Yeah,
just
9 through 15, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
Just pick one or two guys in each round.
I'm surprised Barnes went
that
way.
We really hushed out 8.
Well, we're trying to get through this fucking draft, so maybe we can get through another draft.
All right. Late. So you're late round beauties.
Let's see. Laquan Travis Benjamin.
No, they all suck.
Travis Benjamin, round 10. I know we both really like him, me and Anthony. I don't know about you, Brian.
I mean, doesn't that say Team Woods next to Travis Benjamin?
Well, I don't know. Well, I know you liked him off the draft, but I don't know if you really liked him though.
You also draft Carlos Williams, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, Chinese food eating motherfucker. Nah. Fuck that. I'm going
to
kill him.
Wait, all right, before we go back to those rounds, in round 8, I think Forsett and Riddick were really good picks.
Oh, yeah, especially compared to Amir Abdullah.
Yeah.
definitely Forsett. I mean, Riddick is in PPR is good.
That's why, yeah, PPR is going to be a beast. He had 66 receptions last year or something like that.
Forsett's a good pick. Yeah, later rounds are kind of not too much happening.
I think Zach Ertz could be primed for something decent this year, especially in the red zone.
I mean, Gary Barnes looked like a goddamn beast last year.
Yeah.
If he ever had a quarterback thrown into him.
Yeah, poor bastard.
He was catching everything that went near him. I would just like him on my team because, you know, it just seems like a solid guy. And you always need that chemistry.
He's definitely a glue guy, for sure.
He's a glue guy, oh yeah.
That always helps your fantasy football team.
It certainly does.
I think Willie Snead is a solid choice. Not just because I picked him, but also because he became quickly one of Drew Brees' favorite targets, and I think the chemistry is only going to get better.
Okay.
That's true. And, I think this is a good round for tight ends. You never know with Ladarius Green. I mean, you have Roethlisberger. So,
yeah.
You know.
And
you had Rivers before, but you were always behind
the
Gates.
The thing is, I like this pick, and it's mainly because I made it. It's Martellus Bennett at the end of round 10.
Yeah, I really don't like that pick. It's mainly because you made it.
I'm just saying, with all the red zone defenses focusing on Gronk or Edelman or whoever, Martellus Bennett, he's
6'8". He should be the next Hernandez, and that's probably why you like him so much.
Because you like people who like murder other people.
Yeah, it's one of my fetishes. I love football players that also dabble in murder. That's why my favorite movie is... Wait, what's that movie where the guy shoots the players on the field? My Little Indian, or like the Indian in the Cupboard? Not the Indian in the Cupboard.
The fuck are you talking about? It is not Indian in the Cupboard.
There's a movie.
The Last Boy Scout?
The Last Boy Scout, there we go.
Alright, so he got Indian in the Cupboard, and it was really the Last Boy Scout. So,
well, if you think about it, Boy Scouts are like training to like be almost like Indians, if you think about it. Like, they go in the woods a lot. They whittle. They, like, make shit out of wood.
So that's all you think Indians do, is just whittle and fucking hang out in the woods.
That's pretty much all Indians did, is hang out in the woods. On this coast, anyways. I'm not talking about those Plains Indians.
You're definitely going to have to put a lot more blackjack playing into the Boy Scouts. More Native American.
Oh,
God. I think they transitioned into, like, just...
I mean, I was only in the Boy Scouts for like 2 years, so they might have incorporated it lately. I'm not sure.
I was a Cub Scout, and then I failed.
You didn't cross that bridge?
Yeah. No.
I was a pretty bad Cub Scout.
I was like, this is lame. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Let me play baseball or football.
Yeah. I skipped the Pinewood Derby to play baseball, so.
Pinewood Derby's so lame.
Yeah, I know. Oh, let me push some wood on wheels down a ramp. I'm like, get real.
Yeah, that's what the Indians used to do, though. They used to make Pinewood Derbies back in the woods.
Didn't they also used to play with, like, a stick and a...
I quit Boy Scouts. There was a weekend where you had to go away with your dad, and you were just stuck in these tiny cabins, and my dad was such a terrible snorer, and there was about 8 other dads in there, just all sawn wood. Banshees just going off. You get 1 minute of sleep, and you're like, no, Boy Scouts aren't for me. Next morning, they have powdered eggs, and I was like, well, after
no sleep and powdered eggs, that's my breaking point.
Nice snore fest, and I had to eat some powdered eggs.
That's my breaking point.
Fuck you, Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts really lack the amenities that I like in my life.
I mean, like, when you think Boy Scouts, you think, like, luxury, and, like, you think, like, high amenities.
I always thought powdered eggs.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
if I'm joining a club, yeah, I would like that club to have some good amenities.
You don't get those amenities.
Like
going
a, like, at least, out. Like, an omelet bar or something. Like
an omelet bar.
All right,
anyway, in this round, what we're doing, well, anything in round 10? I mean, I love, actually, Derek Carr, fantastic
well,
pick.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
I mean, any...
No, thank you.
That was my pick.
You're welcome. That was my pick on the next draft, so you know.
Which we're not going to get to.
Yeah, we're not.
Just ignore the draft I just was lights out in.
I mean, that was pretty much the plan going in. We don't want to tell you, though.
Yeah, we'll just get to this draft.
All right, let's see. Anyone else that we got here?
Any bad picks in round 10? I think,
I mean, round 11, you're just taking a flyer on stubborn Steve Smith Sr.
I love stubborn chip on his shoulder
yeah.
Steve Smith Sr.
I mean, before he got hurt last year,
he was great. Yeah.
Yeah, he was nuts. So,
didn't he like tear his Achilles though? So, I mean, that's kind of worrisome.
Yeah, but you know what? When you get down to this round, it's like you just like you're taking flyers
yeah.
and you take it. This is what
upside.
This is when you try to go for upside. Now, I'm not saying Steve Smith has the highest amount of upside, but you're looking for players that
he has more upside than everybody else below him here in these rounds. I'd rather pick somebody who I think could be a round 5 player, and if he winds up sucking, I could just drop him, because that's what most of these players are going to be going to happen to him anyway. You're just going to drop him.
Well, yeah,
they're
going
to be packing their luggages.
I do try and hit on like players like in round 10, like hitting like Laquan Treadwell or Michael Thomas
yeah.
or like Devin Funches or someone that's like. Not proven, but has that possibility. You know, like
not
you
sure.
never like.
Yeah, you welcome to your team. You say, "Hey, don't unpack your luggage just yet, because it might not be a long stay."
You don't get a locker,
but you could if you prove yourself.
Like, would you really want to draft Mike Wallace?
No, never want to draft Mike Wallace.
So like, I'd rather take a rookie that like has not
yeah.
proven himself, but you think
oh,
that could
sure.
that could be a seal, like you know, the high ceiling, instead of Mike Wallace, which you know is going to give you ass every week.
I think we were rabbing on Mike Wallace pretty hard last year.
I'd probably rather pick a really good player that just retired that you think might come out. Mike Wallace.
I mean, if you can get like Tim Tebow baseball points,
oh,
like
God.
Maybe. Over Mike Wallace.
Can we not spend any time on that? That's the stupidest thing ever.
Look.
Alright, so there's some more. Jimmy Graham, that's a high upside.
Yeah.
He could bounce back. I mean.
So low risk in round 12 for someone who has proven himself for like a. I mean,
to
I
be
know,
on the level, almost on the level of Gronk.
Well, I mean, when he was with Breeze, yeah, absolutely. You just gotta hope they decide to get him involved this season.
Yeah, so. Now I'm not hating that Fleener pick as much anymore now that I see this history of Breeze tight ends.
Exactly. See?
But I still don't know. But, you know what? As much as I hate him because I'm a Giants fan and he was just a garbage player, who else is on Philly? Reuben Randall might. I don't know.
So
nobody else really besides... The two Matthews.
So, gun to your head, Reuben Randall or Mike Wallace?
Oh, Reuben Randall.
John.
He has more upside.
John. I would.
That's actually pretty tough. I guess I lean Randall.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Well, the thing is, here it is. I wouldn't draft Mike Wallace, no matter who. I just wouldn't. Well, I just don't think he's worth being drafted. I don't think he even makes it on a roster. After a couple weeks, I mean, he's getting dropped. Nobody's going to pick him up.
Yeah,
I think I would give Reuben Randall last round draft pick.
I mean,
choice.
I'm surprised that I'd actually rather have Nelson Aguilar over Randall on Philly. Well, because he has more. I think he has more
upside.
More upside. You know,
you've seen Randall suck for a lot of years. You haven't seen you've only seen Aguilar suck for 1 year.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you need a certain amount of suckiness before you can really like you need like Mike Wallace levels of suckiness before you give up.
But you've also seen a couple good things from Randall. No reason to debate those. They both neither of them.
All right, yeah, we've been debating like shitty players a lot. All right, Going to round 13.
There's a couple of round 13.
I don't like the Doriel Green Beckham. He's every report coming out of Tennessee is that he's just like out of shape and doesn't look good at all.
Bolden could, well, maybe not. I don't know about Bolden. There's,
I don't know. With the 49ers,
and then there's two decent. Then there's Marvin Jones and Anquan Bolden, and I don't know if they're going to eat into each other. Or yeah. If Jones outright wins that since he got the contract.
With the 49ers last year, though, his stats were, like, pretty respectable. He had, like, almost 70 catches.
And he's not the Anquan Bolden.
No,
he's just Anquan
he's
Bolden.
He's just Anquan Bolden.
So, you know, one of those duh Andrews are going to, you know, lock it up.
The Anquan?
The no, Anquan. He's not the Anquan.
Darren McFadden's is a pretty good round 30 pick.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Considering, you know, who knows what's...
Ezekiel Elliott, how he's actually going to perform, what his legal situation turns out to be. Anthony, of course, you picked your favorite tight end, Clive Walford.
Telling you, as a value pick. You know, I'd rather pick Clive Walford than these clowns picking kickers and defenses this early.
Well, yeah, don't do that.
Awful.
Clowns.
Let's see. If we can...
Bunch of jabronis.
Well,
how far did Davante Adams just fell so far?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
He was everyone's darling last year.
Yeah.
Just
what
like
a scrub.
Let's see. Who we got next round? Anyone?
If he bounces back, I'll break his legs.
I'm going to smash his kneecap with an iron.
He's going to go around break his legs, break Jeremy Hill's legs.
He's going to smash his kneecap with an iron, like an ironing board?
An iron pipe.
Oh, iron pipe. Oh, this is iron, like an iron, like a...
I did, but then I added the pipe to the end. I couldn't think of it quick enough.
I think it would have been better if you were going to steam it.
Yeah.
You're going to get a third degree burn, you bitch.
Wait, hold on. Stay right there. I got to plug it in and let it heat up a little bit first.
Do you want the steam setting or a cotton setting? I don't know.
Steam
here
right now.
Alright. What do we got next? What do you think?
New is a good.
I was about to actually highlight that pick. Yeah.
Oh, it's a good thing I picked them.
Well, I mean, the rest of these jokers picked idiots.
But. I like Winston in and Mariota as 14 round picks. I think those are solid QBs that could
QB,
you know possibly
like backup QBs that have high upside.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. No, it's not bad at all. Yeah, no, we did a good job on that one.
Yes, you did.
I do like Sanu, and I also like Julius Thomas because he just is a red zone dude.
In the 14th round, behind someone like Zach Miller, I would absolutely. That's definitely a good pick.
I would pick him ahead of. There's a decent amount of. I mean, I would certainly pick him over Clive Walford.
Well, you sir are wrong.
I just
you could do it, and that's fine, but you are wrong. But, you know, whatever. That's your choice. You go ahead and do it. No, do it. Actually, yeah, do that. Fun Saturday, do that.
Hakeem Olajuwon, you think CJ Spiller is going to finish his year still in the NFL?
I don't know. Probably not. But I figure might as well just give it a shot.
Just in case.
Round 14, you know, in case Mark Ingram breaks his leg and then Tim Hightower breaks his leg. And then Sean Payton goes crazy. Then CJ Spiller becomes relevant.
He might.
Look, I would love for CJ Spiller to do some shit, but
to do some shit.
You know,
he can do some shit. But probably won't be on the football.
But yeah, no, I mean, look, you're at round 14.
You're throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather take him than Pierre Garçon, I guess, who was drafted next round.
Yeah, I would like Garcon more. I mean, that's a... Well, is Jackson the top depth wide receiver or is Pierre Garcon?
That's a good question.
It's just crazy that a maybe number one wide receiver can be in the 15th round. But then Garcon is one of those guys that... he's a 12-point-a-game guy. He never goes off. It's just
I feel like he never gets to, like, the respect.
Well, if you're going to pick Riddick so high, then I don't know.
What, Theo Riddick?
I think he doesn't have the same value as Theo Riddick because he's a wide receiver and Riddick's a running back.
Well, Riddick can
actually,
yeah.
Has the same type of 12-point-a-game player.
Now, I don't know. I, I I'd take the upside of a young Theo Riddick who might be getting the ball a little more than Garcon.
You think he will?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope he does. I mean, their team was just so much better when he was getting the ball, but
I think they'll see that Amir Abdullah is not the answer.
Yeah. I hope Wendell Smallwood is good because it's just such an
excellent but with him, with Matthews and Sproles, I don't know if Smallwood's going to see enough field playing time.
He's going to charm his way onto the field.
I mean, with a name like Wendell Smallwood, you have to be a charmer.
I guess so. I guess. I don't know.
Because, I'm just saying, you have to talk your way out of a lot of, like, ass-beating situations because your name is Wendell Smallwood.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. All right, yeah.
It's tough to, I guess, if you look at everybody else picks, 14, 15, 16, Pierre-Gras sounds pretty, it's a new, it's not, there's people still there.
At this point, you're just basically taking a dart, you're throwing it at a board, and you're seeing, you know, who the fuck is there. Because all these players, like you said, you're not going to pack your bags, hold on, you might be gone next week.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to.
Don't use the hangers or the closet or the dresser.
You don't get a locker yet. You're sleeping on a cot.
Just as I say, just put your sleeping bag down. You know. You're in the cabin with eight dads snoring. You got some dehydrated eggs.
No, it's like
in
when
the
you
morning.
Get, it's like when you get to a, when you get to a hotel.
Air mattress blown out.
Well, it's like when you get to a hotel, like they don't have enough beds, so like they roll in a cot for you, and like they set it down. That's what you get. You get the roll-in cot from like the lady. That's it. That's all you're getting.
Life as a round 15, 14 player.
you get no drawers in the dresser. Just that. You get,
nope.
Keep it
and the
keep
shitty
it.
Thing is, some of these high name guys, their names are just so tantalizing from seasons past that they're gonna, you know, they're just gonna be used like crazy. Just picked up and swapped on the waiver wire.
Yeah, that is name recognition gets you.
Going from cot to cot, just taking it all in.
Alright, so basically that was the first draft. We're not going to be able to get to the second draft because we took way too long on this one.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be able to do the second one because it was a much better draft on my end.
But basically, both drafts, so this basically comes down to is they ended up about the same. I mean, in the first round of the second draft, 6 wide receivers, 5 running backs, and 1 tight end. And it was very similar on the way down through 7 rounds. In both drafts, 37 receivers were taken. Then you had 33 running backs and 31 running backs in respective 7 and 6 tight ends and 7 and 10 quarterbacks.
And also, there was only one difference of somebody who was in the first round in the first draft to who wasn't. In the second, it was Dez Bryant and Le'Veon Bell switched.
Oh, yeah.
Besides that, it's the same players in the first round.
So you're basically seeing what you're most likely going to see, besides the whole Cam Newton being drafted in the fourth round, which I think is going to be early.
Wait, Le'Veon Bell was in the first round. You mean Devonta Freeman?
Devonta Freeman, not Le'Veon Bell. Freeman was drafted in the first round in one.
Newton will be earlier. Jamal Charles.
He's not listening. He's
the
going
fourth
past
round last in the first draft was an apparition. He'll be a second round.
Yeah.
Or he's not going past the second round, Jamal Charles.
No, but basically what you're seeing through these, which I wish we could have gotten to the second draft, they basically end up being this, and this is what it ends up being like. You're going to see about a split.
The first two rounds are extremely similar.
Yeah, you're going to split running backs and wide receivers, and basically the same players are going to be drafted, with the exception of Cam Newton will probably be
some people might reach a little bit, but it'll fairly be the same.
So you're seeing the same players being drafted in those rounds. It really comes down to those later rounds where you're going to find your bench spots, because that's what drafting is all about, is finding to fill those bench spots.
Yep.
So.
And not drafting a bum-ass first-round pick. There's always, there's at least, I'd say, three teams a year who get just a bum first-round pick. Look at last year. Jeremy Hill didn't fall out of the first round in any draft last year.
No, and
he's just a complete bum of a first-round pick.
There's probably more.
I think this year is going to be a little better. I think, even though I don't like Ezekiel Elliott, I think he'll be better than what maybe Jeremy Hill was this year.
Yeah, I can't see any of these guys being real big bums. Besides maybe Elliott.
So, but I mean...
I'm not the biggest Lamar Miller fan, but...
I can see him kind of being almost... I can see him having a little bum in him.
I don't know. I think in that offense he might be alright. But... like I said, it's really, I said I was surprised with the number of what running backs taken, but it just seems like that, that's just the way it seems like it's going to shake out. I mean, you're going to see a lot, even in PPR, you're going to see a lot of running backs taken, because like you said, the early ones...
There's a lot of depth, there's just a lot of wide receiver depth up until the third round.
Yeah.
At least the third round.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's just the way it's going to be, so, you know, hopefully some of this, helped... with some information that we gave you.
Yep.
I don't know. And
if you need us to discuss the 49ers a little more, just...
Yeah. tweet us... tweet us hashtag Ask49ers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will answer all your 49er questions about the Andrew and the whatever.
DeAndre.
We will answer all your questions about them.
Yeah. Pretty much, we'll only tell you which one it is.
Oh, that one? That's this guy.
Yeah, that's Andre.
Actually, name a 49er, and we'll tell you if you should draft him or not, and the answer will always be no. all right, so I guess that's it for this episode. As always, you could follow us on Twitter at @FFBC_podcast. Check out our website, ffbcpodcast.com. Don't forget to not only listen to this podcast, subscribe and download to it, which always helps us.
I'm saying if you're listening to us say this, you're probably listening to it.
I said not only listen to it.
But I'm saying like you're probably already listening to it.
Yes.
But like, also just like comment, like give us a rating too.
Yes, actually rating is awesome. Try and rate us, and by rate us I mean give us like the best rating possible. Even if that's a lie, even if you don't like us and you're listening to us anyway, just give us the best rating possible. We promise to maybe get better.
And also, if you get that survey mailer in your mailbox, try to fill that out and send it back.
Yeah, and all tens is always the best. So, well, you know, that always helps us out when you give us 10 out of 10. So I guess that helped you for your mock draft, and we'll probably be back in a week or two to maybe discuss maybe some more mock draft bullshit and getting ready for the regular season, I guess. So
let's do it.
That's about it, and we will see you in a couple weeks. Say peace out.
Peace. Bye. Yeah, bye.